Hello and welcome back. I'm Jojo Fraser. It's time for a Mojo Injection, episode 67. It's great to be here. It's been a busy week. Lots of work on book number two, which I'm feeling really excited about because I'm feeling it. I'm writing, I'm in my flow, I'm just feeling it, and it feels so real and so right, and I cannot wait to share it. So bear with me as I get that created. I'm loving it, and it's a bit of a process for me. I feel like with all the mindfulness practice I did and I've been doing this year, I feel I've deepened my practice. So when I sit down to write, you know, I light a candle, I get right into it, I'm really, really present, and all the research and all the thoughts and ideas, they just come flowing out. So I'm really enjoying that. I also put on my social channels an apology. I have had quite a tricky situation. Really, really sorry that this has happened, but I had some feedback actually on my birthday. Just some really sad news that someone was really hurt by one of the episodes and challenged what the guests had said. And you know, there's two sides to every story, but there was just some information that was inaccurate, and I'm really sorry for any hurt caused. You know, I've worked so hard at this podcast. It means the world to me. The conversations mean so much to me, and I do put a lot of trust in everyone that I bring into it. It's a really safe place, and my trust is that people will come in, they'll speak from the heart, they'll be honest, they'll think, they'll be kind, and you know, they'll just think before they speak in terms of if it may really impact someone that the discussion involves. And it's a really hard thing. So I put a formal apology out about that for anyone that was hurt. And it's been a lesson for me about how I can move forward and just be really mindful. And yeah, that's something that I'll have to consider moving forward. But don't let that put you off coming on if you're booked to come on, or don't let that put you off, you know, being immersed in the conversation and having an open mind about it, because things happen and we learn from them, and we can only grow and move on up. A song I really liked as a child, I was thinking of N People there, moving on up, but was actually the only way is up there, baby, it's you and me now, the only way is up. So when we get feedback, you know, what Dr. Hazar said last week was so interesting about, you know, when we react, it shows we've got a lot of work to do and we've got to evolve. And when I get feedback, I really try and just don't take anything personally. Nothing is personal. You've got to just take the feedback on board. Nothing in life is personal. It doesn't have to be. And I want people to always feel they can feedback to me and that I won't judge, and I'll listen in, and then I'll make a call. And on this occasion, I decided to take the episode down. So we have an episode missing, episode 61. And what can I say? I'm sorry. But thank you for being here, guys. Thank you for coming back. I have got super mojo injection for you this week, and I just had such a great chat. Adrian Falk is all over the media. He has launched a book. He's also the founder of Believe Advertising and PR, but he's launched his book Believe, which has been, he's been, as you'll hear from the chat, you know, a really great response from the press to this. And he is a publicist, so he's in a quite a good place. I could do with his advice for book number two. But no, it's just a really interesting chat about self-esteem and about how we can live a life of joy and just really kill it, slay it, go for what you want, and really start to push that inner critic to the back door, you know, and walk out the front door, be all in on life. And I just loved this discussion. He took me to Sydney. We had a great time. I've also shared the video of it, if you prefer visual, on my YouTube. Jojo Fraser, you can tune into it there. And I also put a recent interview I did a few weeks ago on Radio Scotland, all about my thoughts on parenting, my thoughts on the pressure to get that balance right between work, my thoughts on doing something you love, my thoughts on listening to the voice, of what you should really, your intuition of, you know, do you want to be at home? Do you want to be working? What balance, how you find that balance? So I explore that in detail. So you can also get that on my YouTube, Jojo Fraser. Right, guys, thank you for being here. Let's get Adrian on. He's got brilliant chat. We just hit it off straight away and I loved it. So thank you. Enjoy, guys. Mwah. And I think we are rolling, Adrian. How are you today, my lovely?
Good. How are you, Jerry?
Oh, I'm in Australia. I'm happy. Woo! You've taken me back to Sydney. I partied so hard in Sydney. Oh, my goodness.
Did you?
Had the time of my life, but also did a lot of the, like the outdoor, you know, the walk from Coogee to Bondi?
Yeah, yes.
Did that at like 5 a.m. Swimming in the sea after, wild and free. I just love it over there.
When were you here?
2006 and 2007.
Okay. So they were like the good party years because unfortunately, I mean, there's been a bit of drama in King's Cross where there's been people have literally died with a one-hit punch. So the government in Sydney's got these lockout laws and it's literally shattered the nightlife of Sydney City. And now they're actually loosened them a bit, but it's kind of too late. There's so, like, King's Cross is dead now, Oxford Street, you know, like all the clubs
down
there.
That's where I used to hang out, yeah.
I know, it's all quiet. It's like a bit of a ghost town. And, yeah, so they've got all these strict laws. So it's a bit of a nano state here now, unfortunately. So yeah, I think you and along with many others have many fond memories of Sydney nightlife, and I certainly do as well, and it's kind of all changed. So, don't feel like you're missing out on anything because, yeah, unfortunately, that's all gone, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to come back, but I won't be coming to go clubbing at the Cross. It'll just be a different, you know. So, Adrian, I want to hear all about you. I'd love you to introduce yourself from your... Yeah. You know, not just the intro I've given at the start, but I want to hear from you, like just who you are in sort of a minute. If, well, I'm not going to put a time on it. Just tell me. Give me an intro. Right. Who are you, Adrian?
So who am I? I am, as you know, like I'm here to set the world on fire and I never give up. And even as we were just chatting before, I was determined to get my camera and my backdrop and everything working. And so my story is, all my life I feel like that people have never believed in me except for myself. And literally at the age of 20, as I finished my economics marketing degree, I had the desire to work and live in New York in advertising and publicity. This was back in 1997. Everyone goes, how are you going to land a job? I emailed all these ad agencies and I got a job over the internet. And that was like a new thing. You know what? An Australian's emailing us. It was crazy. I packed my bags a week after finishing uni and I moved to Manhattan, lived there for 3 years, had the most awesome time. I was doing events with like Cindy Crawford, going to LA for E3 computer game, the computer game show over there. We had Rockstar Games as a client and it was awesome. And then I realized after a few years, look, I could do this myself. So I came back to Australia and I didn't open my own agency, but then I was faced with like, once again, all these roadblocks and people, family, friends, like, how are you going to do this? How are you going to make an effort to get this off the ground? So during the days, I would literally cold call people from the Yellow Pages, and at night I would work in a call center selling tickets for a charity raffle. And it's now been 17 years and I'm still going, got my company, Believe Advertising PR. And I realized, you know, as I told a lot of people my story, like, and there's more to it, I really want to share my insights with people. So I've written a book. So that, as I've just launched recently, I've self-published that on Amazon and it's been amazing. Like, it's actually a number one bestseller in the US, which is fantastic. It's available on paperback. Yeah. I know, so thrilled. And literally I've never published a book before and I just at night used to stay awake till 1-2 in the morning googling like, how do you publish a book, you know? And I've been getting worldwide media coverage. I was on the homepage of Daily Express in the UK, Australian media supporting me, even India, and I did a Canadian breakfast TV last week which went to air for a morning show there. So Yeah, now of course you taking your podcast by storm as well. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's amazing to have you here and just connect with you, because I'm really excited about the work you're doing. I'm excited to hear more. I know my listeners love this kind of thing. So just, I always say to people, just be all in with me, you know, just, and I don't really have to ask you that. I can tell that you're going to just be all in. And
I don't hold back. That's one thing. I'm never backwards and coming forwards. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's where the magic happens, though, when we are able to just be at this place. But I was interested what you said earlier, that you've always had this self-belief when people have not believed in you. So what's, talk to me a bit about that. Like, do you mean as a child you've kept this self-belief? Where do you think it came from, and why were you not crushed by all the critics that we constantly come across in life?
I know. I think I was always in primary school, high school, always I felt like I was the underdog. I was talking about going out in high school. I was doing music for the end of year, and but I was a bit left of center. So actually I did composition major, but instead of doing a classical piece, which everyone else did, I recorded a dance music track back in 1994. Yeah. And I had to play that in front of the external board of assessors. And it's everyone's thinking, what, you're into dance music, it's so weird and everything like that. So I was always a bit of ahead of the game. And I just always thought, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you think. I'll just show you. And I think that just kept spurring me on. So from an early age, when people always thought it was a little bit weird, different and quirky, it was my motivation to show you, I'm going to show you, you know, something different. And I am going to make a success of my life, and I am going to prove you wrong. So I guess when it came to moving to New York, and then I started telling everyone all the amazing stuff that I was doing, to people that back home in Australia, it's like, what, you're going to these amazing parties? I have a picture with me with all these celebrities. You know, I literally went to a different party every night there. It was amazing. It was before September 11, so the whole atmosphere was really great in Manhattan. And I think that's sort of the power of people. And that actually, in the beginning of my book, I said, this book is dedicated to all of those that ever believed in me. Thank you. Because that's what sort of has got me to where I am today.
So do you think it was you wanted to prove people wrong, or what was it? Because a lot of people, when they get rejected, right? Yes. Or perhaps the ego starts to kick in. You know, I can see with my daughter, she's 7 now, so she's a bit more wary about how she dances. She's lost a bit of the magic, but she's very quirky, and I can see she's going to do amazing things, but I can also see that she's being challenged by the ego. And she does care about what people think to an extent. So, you know, did you find, even when you went into teenage years, that you were able to just keep going, or did you ever break thinking, I do want people to like me?
Of course, everybody, as humans, we always, even today, you always think, in some ways you want to fit in and want people to like you and everything like that. But at the same time, maybe it's also as you head towards your, I'm 42 now, after a while, you just don't care. You know what I mean?
It's like a wisdom that comes with age. Do you think that it doesn't, or perhaps is it a wisdom that if people aren't accepting you, it's their issue?
With that, yeah, both. I definitely think it's both. And I sort of kind of got that from an early age. You know, it's like one thing that I put on my Instagram a few weeks ago was, you are too much for some people. And then it said underneath, those people aren't your people, or something like that. You know what I mean? And even actually, ironically, today, there was something that I put on my stories that says, it's okay if you don't like me. Not everyone has good taste. And stuff like that just makes me laugh. Probably everyone else thinks it's weird, but I don't care. It still makes me laugh. So that's the thing. I think as long as you have a good laugh.
I think that's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important, like keeping a sense of humor and not taking yourself too seriously, because as humans, as you say, like we do have this mind and it's not our fault we have it, but it can play tricks on us, or you can hear these thoughts like, oh, I'll show them or whatever. But actually, when you can just rise above your critics and just have fun with it and have a joke rather than reacting in a really angry way. You know, there's a lot of anger out there. And
I always say fight fire with water. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're like someone's driving and they're honking the car at you and stuff like that, what I love to do is just like wind down the window, smile, and just give them a good, nice wave.
Yeah.
And they just get so irate, you know, and that's the whole thing, you know, and just send them love, because you don't ever want to bring your energy down to their level, because that's what they want you to do. Even subconsciously, they may not even realize that's what, you know, they're doing, but it really diffuses the situation.
Mm-hmm. It really, really does. Because where do you go from there? Where do you go from love?
I know.
Like love, pure love knocks people down. It's in their tracks. It's like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting you to put the fingers up. I wanted a fight. I was angry. Come on, bring it on. No, love you, my darling.
Without that, I mean, I've been married for 10 years and I do love my wife a lot. Like every couple, we always have your arguments. And what happens is sometimes I'll actually say, I go, Mish, geez, you look so cute today. You know what I mean? And it'll just be like, and I know it's hard to break that circuit, but then it just sort of stops everything and chills everyone out. You know what I mean? Like, as I say, if you take life too seriously, you won't come out of it alive.
Yeah, it's so, so true. And marriage, it's something I love talking about, because, you know, it's a very intense relationship. You know a person so well. Sometimes they can drive you crazy because you're different, and it can be easy to clash, and it's so important to keep that sense of humor and laugh at your differences rather than let them build, and then you go into that victim mentality. Well, your way's not as good as my way, and it doesn't really get you anywhere, does it?
No, exactly. That's right. You know, everyone's different. Everyone's got a way of doing things, especially when it comes to stacking the dishwasher, I find. But anyway, it's definitely right. It's you just have to recognize that everyone's got their own way of doing things, and your way definitely may not be the better way either. So you have to be open to that too.
But what if it's someone that, as you were saying, like I concur that the better way, for example, with road rage is to wave. Mm. I'm in agreement with you. But what if someone says, no, but my way's better. And so you've got a mood hoover in your life who's so negative. Now I can say to you right now, well, I agree with you. How do you deal with that when you know deep down that your way is better? Like, you know, it's better to be positive, but they think it's better to be negative. How do you deal with that?
I guess it depends on the situation. Sometimes you've got to choose your battles as well. If you're never going to see that person again, and just be like, okay, that's fine. Or what can I learn from this situation? Or, you know, it's just like, do I really want to get that? That I recognize that, you know, I've even said to people before, it's like, you know, agree to disagree. That's fine. If you think that, that's no worries. And, move on. Don't dwell on it.
Yeah, because it's hard, because how do we keep the authenticity with that? Like, just say someone complains they don't like a chapter in your book, right? And they're like, I was hurt by that because it made me feel this way. And then you're like, but that is my truth and I genuinely think it's true. But they're saying, but I don't, you know, I want an apology for that, or, you know, something like that. How do you deal with that if you really
I would actually just say, well, thank you so much for being so passionate, and I'm just so grateful that you've taken time out to invest actually in reading something that I've published. So I really respect your feedback. That's what I love. I love that interaction. So if you don't love something, that's great. I'm happy to chat to you about it and your thoughts and whatnot. And so you have that right to express that as well and tell me your feedback. And that's what it's out there. It's out to be criticized and be spoken about and be talked about. Because at the end of the day, I say there's one worse thing than being talked about, and that's not being talked about in some ways. So I think everything should be in some ways up to be analyzed and criticized it, because, you know, if you take everything that's just given to you on a plate, well, that's boring too as well, isn't it?
I know, it really is. So let's talk more about the book, right? Why has it had such an amazing reaction? Talk to me about the magic of it.
I think the way that I've always, and I'm a big believer in self-help books and motivate, even like I remember when I was like 14, I read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which is crazy. I remember sitting on a bus reading it. It's like, I know, got it from the library. In life, everyone always says, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? Where do you want to be, you know, in the future? What do you want to do when you're older? But no one thinks about the present. So I've called the book Believe, but start living the life you've always dreamed of today. Because I've realized no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow, the next hour, or thereafter. But you do know what's going to pretty much happen right now. So if you have a desire to do something, then why not start acting on it today? Because this moment, you're never going to get back again. And it's about making a difference in your life and achieving whatever you want to do, but starting from now, not like, say, waiting for 5 years or whatnot, or having that 5-year plan, which is still fine to have, but it's sort of taking action from the current moment, really. Okay. And I sort of just outline step by step really easily how you can follow my plan of action, what I've done, and you can achieve anything you want. In there, for example, is one thing I always wanted was abs at 40. I really, as I approach 40, obviously everyone's metabolism slows down and I was putting on weight, and I realized I don't want to be going to my 40s being overweight and not looking or feeling good about myself. And this is my own personal goal. It's not for everybody, but I sort of, and my book's by no means a weight loss book either, but I used it as an example or analogy. Mm-hmm. And so I went to trainers and they go, well, you know what, abs are really pretty much a genetic thing and things like that. But then I sort of worked out a way just from, and that this works for me, I'm not saying it is for everybody, by cutting sugar and refined carbs and dairy out of my diet, that, you know, with moderate amount of exercise, you don't have to go crazy in the gym, that you can get in shape quite quickly. And that was the other thing that I set my mind to, because a lot of people say you can't be done, or, you know, as society tells us that we're meant to let ourselves go once you're married or once you have kids, and how are you going to find the time to do that? But you know what? We've all got the same amount of hours in the day. It's like how you use them at the end of the day.
It's so important. So for you, it was more about the eating than the exercise that got you those sculpted abs.
Yeah, as I say, abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. And it's true. That's what people, I think, don't realize. So, you know, you don't have to go on grueling workouts, lifting copious amounts of weight every day, because, look, exercise is great for endorphins and everything like that. And I've read about, like, your story with mental health, and without a doubt, like, I feel I just love going to the gym now just for the endorphin side of things, because, you know, everyone needs a bit of boost in life. And that's my natural, I guess, high.
I love it. I love it. So what exercise did you do? Just, I'm interested, because I love exercise, and I love, I am very much of that. It's all about how you feel. So as you say, I would never say to someone else, you should do this, you should do that. But I'm of the opinion, you know, when I'm eating well and I'm working out, I feel so much better. But sometimes, you know, if you're really engrossed in a project, you think, can I skip that session? How much of an impact is that going to have? So what did you do?
So I made sure I never had any cheat days. Everyone goes, oh, I'm just going to treat myself to a piece of cake, or I'm just, and this is me personally. I'm not saying you don't, I'm not a nutritionist, and I've got a disclaimer in the book. You can do whatever you feels right for you. But I know for me, sugar, and there's studies on it, is one of the most addictive things, more addictive than most drugs out there. So as soon as you cut sugar out of your diet, to start doing cheat days, it's really kind of like going 2 steps forwards, 3 steps back in some ways, because then you're craving that sugar again. So you're going to cut out your cheat days. And also I read somewhere, it says, do not reward yourself with food. You are not a dog. And it's kind of like really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. If you're doing well with your exercise and your progress, go and buy yourself a new shirt or shoes or whatever as you desire. But, you know, you don't have to, I think there's a lot of issues with food these days because, you know, and it's bad, and I'm even guilty of it as well. You know, you say to your kids, hey, you know, you can eat this ice cream as a treat. So then we've got in our mindset that treats are food. So when you're older, you feel like, well, I'm going to be treating myself because I'm good or I've done well with food, when food should just be saying, yeah, you can enjoy it and without a doubt. And I know people think I'm probably neurotic about this, but once again, I really don't care. This is my perception. But it's also just a way of you sort of surviving, getting energy. So when you start realizing the types of food that you can put into your system, and then you actually, it's kind of like putting good fuel in the car, and you're going to operate so much better, and to see food as that way, that sort of changes your mindset a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, food is all mindset. And as you say, we make these associations like food is a celebration, or food's not abundant, or you can't waste food, so you have to scrape your plate. All these labels and stories that we take on throughout our life, which really screw us up. I find that interesting. So did you eat just when you were hungry? Did you eat 3 meals a day? Did you avoid snacks? Like, how did you do that? Did you use your intuition?
Yeah. I think the brilliant thing about me, and typically my lifestyle that I eat, is paleo. I eat whenever I'm hungry because I don't measure calories. So I, I do eat a lot of fish and plant-based protein, but I don't have grains. Mm-hmm. So by doing so, you kind of like have a lot of like vegetables and which is not a bad thing, or fish or chicken or even meat. Or tuna and salad for lunch, for example. And that's what I do. So it's like when people start, I love it. Everyone loves to criticize, you know, but it's like, they go, oh my God, your diet's so bad. And it's like, how is eating fish and veggies for dinner bad for you? You know what I mean? It's like, what are you eating for dinner? Yeah. So yeah, everyone has their theory, and that's okay as well.
What did you eat for breakfast? I always like to get ideas.
Yeah, breakfast, I do an egg white omelette with a tin of tuna and spinach and tomato. So I do that sometimes before gym. Sometimes I wake up and I'm not hungry, so I don't have the preconceived idea of having breakfast before exercising. So it depends. If I'm hungry, I'll eat something. If not, I won't, you know.
Why do you take the yolks out? Do they have sugar in them, or...?
No, I take them out because I guess if you eat too many yolks, they're quite high in like the calorie side of, although don't count calories, but I use the egg whites more for just protein. Yeah, there's definitely some nutrition in yolks, and
the yolk's my favorite part.
Yeah, well, eat it. That's all right. It's not gonna hurt. It's not gonna matter too much. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Interesting. So you would have your egg white omelette, or do you have porridge oats or anything like that? I love my porridge.
No, because I don't have oats. Yeah, I don't have grains.
Oh, so. Right enough, because oats, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have grains or pasta or rice or potatoes, right, or anything like that.
Yeah, and you'll look, most cereals that we've been brainwashed with is, they're just fortified vitamins and sugar, really, you know.
A lot of sugar in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have like, so you say you don't have sugar, so do you make those snacks that people do with like dates and honey and natural things?
Yeah, like occasionally, I don't make them because I don't really have, but I do make these protein pancakes, which are really good. So it's kind of like almond flour with, bit of coconut flour, and you use a quarter cup of that with some egg whites and blueberries and cinnamon, and whip that up, and I put that with some Manuka honey. It's like honey that's from New Zealand.
I love it. I have Manuka. I love it.
Yeah.
It's expensive over here.
Yeah, I think it's expensive everywhere.
Really?
You can get some shops, and depending on what grade you get, but any grade is good, I think, and it's got less refined sugar than regular honey on the shelf. So yeah, that's sort of like what I do as my dessert as such. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So how long have you been sugar free for then?
nearly 4 years, essentially.
Wow. Wow. And do you drink, so out there's sugar and alcohol. Do you have no alcohol or?
I do have alcohol. Like I do, like that's the thing. I'm not like, I will, I'm not going to say I'm not like crazy. No, I'm not allowed. Like, with my food, yes, a little bit. I do tend to stick to that. But with alcohol, I will drink as well. Not every week, but you know, maybe like once a month or something like that. But occasionally now I'm sort of cutting that back a bit because when you haven't drunk for so long as well, when you have a few drinks, you just feel crazy the next day and hungover. And look, let's be honest, when you have two kids, having a hangover at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning is never fun anyhow, and that's enough of a deterrent.
I know, it's hard. How old are your kids?
5 and 7.
Right. See, well, pretty much my 7 and nearly 5. So I'm feeling you. We're in about the same place at the moment. It starts to get a bit easier.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I still feel like I haven't slept for 7 years though, but that's all good.
And sleep is so important for our mindset and our self-esteem. And I'm really raising the vibration, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's what I've kind of learned from the past year. Sort of like, geez, I felt like I could sort of try and burn the candle at both ends by staying up late or, you know, researching stuff on the computer, you know, to 1 a.m. And then I realized, no, I can't keep this up. This is crazy. Something's going to snap soon.
But if you are having a night to treat yourself, what would be your favorite alcoholic drink?
Oh, favorite alcohol. That's a good one. Probably either an espresso martini or Aperol spritz is pretty good.
Ah, interesting.
I'm never a fan of beer. Mm-hmm. I think it just feels, maybe it's the carbs or the wheat, it just feels too heavy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Aperol spritzes go down very easily.
Yeah, it's a popular drink these days everywhere I look. And it's not just in Scotland or Australia, it's all over the world. It seems, well, a lot of places anyway.
But even now, actually, one of my clients, they're called Altered Spirits, A-L-T-D Spirits. They have spirits without alcohol. So it's kind of like a flavored gin using Australian botanicals and indigenous ingredients that you can mix with tonic water. So, you know when sometimes you feel like you want to have a drink, but there's no alcohol and it's sugar-free, gluten-free, so they taste really good as well. So that's sort of like a big trend, which is non-alcoholic spirits.
And yeah, because the topic of alcohol is really interesting, because obviously, you know, I've spoken a lot about addiction and the work I do, but I always say you need to remove the shame from it. You know, when someone says, I'm an alcoholic, I have struggled with alcohol, you sort of need to remove the shame. Like if I said to you, why do you drink? What would your first thing be? Because I like the taste, because it relaxes me, or what would you say?
Why would I drink? I think it depends. Like I would never just have a drink at home with my wife. Like, you know, if dinner, it'd be more of a social sort of engagement sort of setting that I would have a drink in. So that's probably why I would have a drink in that environment. And also I have a policy, like I would never have just even one drink and drive. I just don't trust my metabolism. I feel like it's too hard. So if I'm driving, I definitely don't even have one drink at all. Mm-hmm.
Do you have more fun with alcohol?
Do I have more fun? Look, everyone has more fun, but I guess maybe in the finite future you do. But then the next day when you start, especially if you haven't had alcohol for a while, you feel really really horrible because, I don't know me, I get headaches and feel really sick in the stomach and everything like that. So your body's not used to it. But of course, I mean, most people. But then again, everybody, to be honest, it's a bit of a downer the next day as well, talking about mental health. Like, who doesn't? It is like a depressant in some ways, alcohol. So, you know, you definitely have your high, but then you come crashing down, I feel.
See, that's what I'm interested in. I think culture's changing a lot around it. You know, so there's that pressure to have a drink. And what I'm interested in is how we can raise the state without drinking at times and sort of saying this time, right, I'm going to go a month without a drink, but I'm going to be in it. I'm not going to feel the pressure because I can raise my state in other ways.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think, to be honest, and that's why sometimes most of the time I don't drink, because like you can have, if you're in a really good conversation or surrounded by really good people, you don't need to drink. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's the whole thing. Yeah.
Would you say culturally, I mean, in Australia, are you quite open? Because in Britain, we've been dubbed as, you know, stiff upper lip, wear the masks, very proud, don't want to be seen to be weak, and also don't want to be seen to shine too bright because you're full of yourself. If you say, oh, I've written a book and it's amazing, and you know, people can get a bit, oh, whatever. So what's it like in Australia?
I think our Commonwealth culture is pretty similar. So we call it here, it's tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
So everybody has to be the same. So in America, I think that's why America is so good. And I really think, you know, in some ways there's a lot of good about America, because they're so encouraging, you know, like when I was working there, like my boss would walk in and goes, hey, I just bought a boat. And everyone would be like, yay, you know, and applaud, you know, and everything like that. And they're very encouraging that way. And you see, like with the talk shows, and even if you go to a movie and watch that, it's in America here, and I'm sure it's the same as the UK. Like I remember watching the Titanic and when that came out, and I was in New York City, and people are like standing and cheering in the aisles and everything like that, you know? And it's like, it was fantastic. I've never seen anything like it before. They really get into it. Well, we're a lot more reserved, I feel like, in Australia and probably in the UK. And it is a weird thing, especially me being a publicist, doing publicity on yourself. So it is the most weirdest thing ever, because I'm always getting people in front of the camera, and I like normally being behind the camera and being not in the spotlight so much. But I knew that if I wanted to communicate my message to the world, I had to put myself out there and sort of deal with that and not care what people think about that way, you know, about that too. But that's cool.
I love that. As a publicist, would you say it's all about getting people to gain respect? Like, what are your tips for people that really want to make an impact? Because I guess your job is to help people make that impact, right?
Yeah, number one, I always say to everyone, just be yourself, because everybody else is taken. And also, people can see through. When you're not being yourself, you're not authentic, and people don't like that. You know, then they feel like they're being sold to because you're putting on a front or anything like that. You know, no one likes like a used car salesman or something like that, because they're all very cheesy and they say the right things, and you know, they feel like they're being lied to. So so I guess to position yourself as an expert, or is to be yourself. And from there, I guess communicate the story. Everybody has a, you know, yourself and me, everyone has a great story. You just have to dig deep and find it and share it with others. And I think that's a really important thing, because you can really inspire a lot of people. Everyone's had different life experiences, and I think everyone can benefit from what other people have been through as well.
Mm-hmm. And there'll always be people, as you say, that connect with you.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
And then there'll be people that find you too much as well. I mean, I've had that all my life. People have either really got me, or they found me way too intense and weird. And it's learning to let that go and say, but I don't like living another way. I want to be intense.
Yeah. And that's great. Intense is good, because you'll find your tribe. And I think that's why we've connected so well, because it sounds like we're both probably intense people.
Yeah.
And but that's good. But then you'll have your following, and that's why you've got your amazing podcast, and that's why you do have your following. And that's great. So you're doing a real service to everyone out there across the globe.
Oh, thank you. Well, as are you. So tell us some of the feedback you've had so far. Is there specific parts in the book that have made people go, whoa, light bulb moment there? Have you got a couple of things in your head that you think that bit nailed it? I was in the creative flow there and it's working and I'm inspiring the world.
I think like one thing which I start off is like, firstly, you just got to stop and breathe, because we live in such a, and then that's what people, you know, a lot of people come up to me, it's like, I just know I need to just breathe. And that's what you say, like early on the book, you know, start off and breathe and just like take a moment just to relax, because we live in such a fast-paced world, you know, with high-speed internet and with our jobs and always being on call and everything like that, and especially social media, that we never really find time for ourselves and to focus on inwards and what we want to do and what are our goals and objectives and what we can want to achieve with our life. Because to say in the book, if you don't start living the life that you want to live, then you, other people can take control of your life and you'll live someone else's. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that you sort of work out, what are your goals? What do you want to do? You know, is it to run a marathon? Is it to start your own business? Is it to lose weight? Is it to find a new career, move overseas, learn a new language? Whatever it is, you can do it, but you just have to ask yourself the right questions, because you know the answers within.
How do we get to that place within? What helps you?
Yeah, I love actually, as you said, Bondi to Bronte walk is really amazing. Just taking time out, trying. I'm fortunate enough that I do live near Bondi Beach, but even through exercising, that's a really, I get a lot of my thoughts on the treadmill, because, and listening to music, I love, and I actually, there's ways in the book, even essential oils. I'm a big user of essential oils. One of my clients is Young Living, and they're the world leader in essential oils. And literally I buy their products, and I'm not doing this for a plug for them. I literally love their products, and I really find it helps with my wellness and well-being. And just there's ways that you can elevate yourself when you're going in that downward spiral that we all do every day, you know, and trying to break that cycle. You don't have to live near the beach, but even if, you know, if it's a nice day, take off your shoes and socks and connect with the earth and grass and nature and that energy. And it sort of feels like that you're connecting with something higher. And that way you sort of start opening up and realizing what you do want. And it will come to you. That inner voice, you have to start listening to that way more, because I feel like we all have that voice, but we sort of push it aside. But we've all got this amazing inner voice that will help guide us throughout our life.
And so the key is not distracting ourselves with the busyness, isn't it?
Exactly.
Stripping back. But there are tools, to elevate us. And what you say about essential oils, so do you rub them in certain points and do mindful breathing with them, or what's your thing?
Literally, to be honest, and this is sounds very Australian, I literally will just whack them on my wrists, or there's a really good one actually, a cedarwood is that helps you sleep. So if you put it on your toes, your big toe, that's known to help you sleep, and it's like a point in Chinese medicine that will go, the meridian of energy starts, or there's a point there for big toes. But even just on the neck area, lavender is always amazing, and diffuse them for the kids, and it definitely chills them out before bed as well. So
I love that. I'm going to be putting some essential oils on after this. I've actually been getting the kids into them, and we were kindly gifted some essential oils for kids. A brand called Deterra, don't know if you've heard of them.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
They gave us a pack to take away, but they're roller ones. So the kids are loving it, because on holiday they were it was good for me because they just roll all the essential oils. And there's ones that say strong and brave and calm and stuff. So I'll be which one are you going to put on? You're going to put on calm, brave. So they're rubbing them on my back and I'm rubbing them on theirs. And whenever I get adult essential oils, I just my mum's always been into it, so she'll get us picking lavender from the garden and making her own and stuff.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
As a disclaimer, you always have to make sure that you use maybe a barrier oil if it isn't a roll-on, because otherwise it can really burn your skin. So just make sure you use it as directed. That's my little disclaimer there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. Because, some of these oils.
Some oils that are going to burn their skin, because, often you need a barrier oil or just to diffuse them if you're going to topically apply them.
Yeah, so important. I love the really deep oils that just take you to that place of calm and, so good for the soul, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So what is true joy to you then? True joy and peace, what does it mean? What does it look like?
True joy, I guess, is just feeling happy. I know that sounds like not like synonym, but just feeling content, I guess I should say, in the current moment that you're in. So right now I'm really, really enjoying this conversation with you, and I'm in pure joy because, hopefully you can see in my face, because, you know, like, I'm speaking to someone, it's like amazing, like, how amazing is technology? I'm in Sydney, you can see me. It's like the Jetsons in Scotland you're in, right? And
sorry, I don't have such a beautiful backdrop.
That's all right. But I'm just so grateful, you know what I mean? And I am like that, you know, we've got this technology and we can connect, and it feels like I'm chatting to you face to face, and also helping, sharing my message out to your podcast followers as well. So I think it's just being very grateful and appreciative in the current moment I'm in. That's what I see as pure joy.
Yeah. And it's being there. So it's wherever you are, it's being there fully.
Yes. Yeah. Without a doubt. Otherwise you will live your life. You know, I saw on Facebook the other day, it's like pictures of, you know, people living their life. But what they've done is they've taken out the mobile phone. So there'll be a couple lying in bed but with their backs together.
Saw that.
Yes, right. And it seems to be trending at the moment. So, and how funny is that? That we're addicted to these devices, and I'm included. I'm not going to say I'm not, you know, not on my phone, because, you know, for work or for whatever, you always like, you have to feel like, you know, but take some time out to do a digital detox some part of the day. And I think that's where, like, even exercise is good, because I'm not really on my phone or checking emails or anything like that. Yeah.
We're wired because it's like a slot machine, you know, the slot machines, they're wired to scroll. And I speak openly with my husband on episode one, which is way back, about his gambling addiction. And that was right. He's over it now, thankfully. But the slot machine was kind of his escapism from things that were going on, painful things. And I can see him now, though, on his phone, on Facebook and stuff. And I'm like, you need to watch that, because they're very, you know, the scrolling is very like the slot machine. I'm like, don't just spend your whole day scrolling and liking. You need to get off that phone and just put it away, because they're so addictive. Like, nomophobia is a thing. You know, people are going to therapy for screen addiction.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. You see it with kids now and iPad usage and everything like that. And so many studies about, you know, ADHD and iPad usage and everything like that in kids, because their brain, it gets used to this rapid pace and fast pacedness from an early age. So, when they're sort of glued to electronic device, they expect that, I guess, that fast pacedness. And then when that's not there, they find it very hard to focus. Yeah.
It's really, really scary when you think about it. And I'm aware, like, I took Bonnie out last night to the theater and I let her pick the restaurant, and we went to this beautiful restaurant. And she brought out her drawing book, and the waiter asked her to draw a picture. And if she drew a really nice one, he'd bring her an ice cream.
Right.
It was a posh restaurant. It wasn't just an ice cream. It was like in this big silver goblet with the hot caramel sauce. Like, we're in her element. So she's sitting there. But I thought this would be a great time for me to sit scrolling, catching up on emails. But I deliberately didn't bring my phone out, because I thought, I'm just going to enjoy the moment. I'm going to look at the lovely surroundings of the restaurant she's picked to take us. And I'm going to look at my daughter drawing, and I'm going to try and connect with her as well and have a bit of a chat, even though she's engrossed in her picture. She's been, you know, and really just, but I could feel, you know, the temptation was there. Well, I could be on my phone working right now. I could be doing stuff.
It's really hard. It's really hard, especially with kids. Otherwise their life, it's like that Adam Sandler movie Click, I think, you know, where you're just on the remote control, and before you know it, kids are growing up. It's like, where's your life gone? Because you've been living behind the device.
And how much, if we were to know, well, it's great now that the app can tell us, like, okay, you were on your phone an hour more last week, or, you know, so you can keep tabs on it. So we do have tools. You know, I got this watch specifically because I noticed that like my clothes were getting a bit tight because I'd been writing a lot when I wasn't with the kids and I wasn't moving enough. So I thought, well, it reminds me to get up and go for a run or do that. So there are tools. So we need to use technology and when it can help us, but we need to be aware of it, don't we?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it can be our friend, but it can be our foe for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what are the plans for you? What's coming next for you?
I think just to continue, like obviously I've got my, what I love to do is help people with their message and get them out into the media worldwide. And I've worked with so many amazing people. You know, one guy, his name's Harry Sanders, literally 4 years ago, he was at the age of 17, homeless, living under a bridge in Melbourne. And now he has the largest Australian SEO agencies called Studio Hawk, and just getting his message out there of how you can sort of overcome that, you know, barrier as well to start your own business and everything like that. And just through the power of publicity, I've grown his business from March this year. Now I got him worldwide media coverage and even got him on BBC. Like I watched the interview here in Australia and its global audience, 260 million. And he's now opened up an office in London last month because he had so many inquiries from people in London or UK wanting SEO. So I always every day love, and I'm really honored and blessed. I know it sounds really cliche, hashtag blessed, but I am, to do what I do on a daily basis and helping people get their story out there into the media on a global scale. And fortunately, I literally work with people right around the world, which is amazing. But at the same time, I guess my little side project is now that my book's out there, helping trying to promote that more so I can get my message out there and really try and encourage others about how you can live your life that you've always dreamed of. Because at the end of the day, we really actually only have one life and you never want any regrets. And that's the thing. I think life, as we all know, it goes so quickly. And I'm really beginning to realize that. Like I'm now 42. And it's, geez, I never thought, you know, 42, it seems old. I guess it's all relative, but I'm actually younger and fitter than I was 10 years ago. So age is a number. Yeah, that's what you have to realize. In some ways, you can turn back time. Yeah.
Man. Do you know, I quote Kylie on my second book. I should probably hire you to do my publicity for the second book because I'm so proud of it. It's going to go like, I'm really, really delighted with the feedback I had from book number one, but book number two, yes. I've put, it's even more me, if that could be possible. It's even more me. But I quote Kylie in it because I saw her for the first time live recently. Right. A friend invited me along. She was at Edinburgh Castle, and I've never seen her live. And I used to watch her as a child when I was like five in my living room, and I thought, I want her fire, I want her energy, I want her passion, I want to be Kylie. And she sang, "It's never too late, you still got time." And I was like, it hit me. Like, she's so right. And I just heard that song in a new way that night at the castle going, yeah, like, I know what you're saying. It's never too late to write a book. It's never too late to get the abs of your dreams. It's never too late to set the world on fire. Like, just do what you want to do. And that's an amazing message.
Without a doubt, I think that you've summed it up perfectly with the Kylie tune. Of course, who doesn't like Kylie? The thing is, without a doubt, and that's what I'm trying to convey to everyone, it's that you can do whatever you want to do. And whatever I've achieved, that's not what you may want to do, but that's okay. I'll show you in my book and how you can use the techniques to work what you want to do.
I love it. And for someone that's wanting to write a book, perhaps they've gone to publishers and they keep getting rejected, but they believe in their work. Were you always going to do the self-publishing because you know how to publicize and that's your thing? Or did you consider a traditional publisher?
Literally maybe for 2 seconds I did, but then I just thought, I know that nowadays, thanks to technology, you can just publish books yourself, which is amazing, And so that's where, I didn't really know how to do it, but that's where I Googled a lot. And I did it. And you know, I think, you know, the Amazon platform is really amazing as well. So it's quite good to be able to upload, you know, your book on there. And it's pretty instant, you know, so before you know it, you've got a global platform there. And you've got it on Kindle and paperback, you know, through Amazon, which is amazing.
Did you need technical skills to do it, like to use Adobe or anything? Or was it literally just getting the book edited and pasting it into their...
You can do that if you want. I wanted to make my book a little bit prettier. So I did get a interior book designer once it was written up in Word. That was that, I guess, manuscript was taken and designed page by page. So then I got like a book designer to actually typeset for Amazon's formats. And then also got a designer to do the front cover, because I want the front cover to look, you know, really good.
I love the front cover. It's a real taste of your time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that was, so that obviously I got, you know, done, because I wanted that to, you know, for the reader to give them the best experience possible. Mm-hmm.
But if you are someone that really has a message, you can do it and it doesn't have to cost thousands of pounds.
Without a doubt, yeah, as long as you've got your good message there. And I believe even if you do have it just as a Word document, Amazon will format that and turn it still into a Kindle book for you, which is pretty amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know, right? Yeah.
So inspirational.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. So are you.
Oh, well, thank you. So what would be your sort of takeaway advice for people? What's your sort of favorite? Do you have a mantra? Do you have quotes?
I've got so many quotes. I always say the easiest thing you can find on earth is someone that will say that you can't do something. So don't listen to the naysayers. Start listening to yourself. Start backing yourself, because how many of us just don't do that? And start believing in yourself, and that's a brilliant place to start.
So true.
Because when you start believing in you, then so will others. I think the way you treat yourself is the way that others will treat you.
Mm-hmm. It's so true when you have respect for yourself. And yeah. It's not about, you know, because you need to shout your message. You do need to make some noise, you know, especially if you're promoting something like a book. You have to put yourself out there, but it doesn't necessarily, people can pigeonhole people like us as, oh, shining too bright and all that stuff, poppy syndrome, yes. Whatever you're saying. But yeah. That's nonsense. It's like, no, you're just living your dream. It's not.
Exactly.
It's nothing arrogant.
And if people don't like what I put on Facebook, then defriend me. I don't care. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. What's the worst that's going to happen? Yeah, that's what I always like to say. What's the worst? Yeah, that's going to happen.
Oh, do you know, I really want to meet you, and I'm trying to start doing, because I do a lot of keynote talks. So
right.
on my job list is to start contacting people, send them stuff of me speaking, and then try and get to do more global stuff. So bring the Mojo global. So hopefully I'll get some gigs in Australia and I can meet you.
Absolutely. I'd love to meet you. It'd be great. We can do Bondi to Bronte together and that'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. Well, I'm really looking forward to properly finding out more. I know we've met fairly recently on this amazing platform, but I'm looking forward to putting this live. I always ask people their favorite songs and why, just to sort of sing us out.
Right. Oh, that's really interesting. Favorite song I've got, I love music. I really, really love music. So favorite song? Oh, there's so many. I mean, one that comes to mind is, I don't know, no one's going to know it, is Ahmad by Van Helden, You Don't Know Me. It's a dance track. Maybe that's probably not the best, but look it up, Ahmad Van Helden, You Don't Know Me.
Does it have singing in it over the dance track?
It does have some tracks. Do you want me to let me look it up for you? Hang on. We can okay. I don't know if you can hear this. this is very, oops, can you hear me still?
I can hear you.
Oops, there's an ad.
Oh, you've got to love the ads.
It's YouTube, we're in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, let me just get rid of the ad.
Oh, it's fine. You know, ads are part of life, the world that we're living in.
My problem with man, you ask? No. I ask you, what was man's problem with
me? Really not the best song.
No, never talk yourself out of your good songs.
Yeah, there's a long intro. There's that one, and there's another one that says it's a 90s dance track called Don't Give Up, or I'm even seeing what kind of what
is it, is it Don't Give Up, You Know yeah. It's True, yeah. Gotta Do What You Gotta Do.
No,
is that Ryan Adams?
That is. I do like that one as well. I do. I really do like that song as well. There's actually a song called Believe, which I really do like as well.
Oh, so you can dedicate it to your book.
I know, right? It's not the Cher's track, but...
I love that one. Do you believe in life after love?
Yeah. I mean, there's Kylie, I Believe in You.
I believe in you. I believe in...
Yes. Yeah.
You've given me a lot. You've given me a playlist for my run.
I know, right? I'll share my Spotify playlist with you.
Oh, thank you. I would love that.
That
would be fabulous. Well, it's been amazing to have you. Where do you want people to connect to hear more? Do you have a favorite platform or?
So you can, I'd love to hear from all you. So you can email me. We'll go to my website first, because then that has all the, I guess, social media channels, which is easier. And it's just believeadvertising.com, BELIEVE advertising.com. Mm-hmm. On there's a link to my personal email. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think of the podcast. There's a link to my Instagram account. So you can connect with me through there. There's a link to my company Facebook page, which I'd love to chat to you through Messenger or whatnot. So there's a few different ways there to reach out, or even LinkedIn. Adrian Falk, I'm on LinkedIn as well. So
where did you find my stuff, actually?
Where did I find your stuff?
Can you remember?
I think I was just doing research on just, you know, like on podcasts and influencers, and came across you. Yeah, of course. And who, at the end of the day, who hasn't heard of JoJo Fraser, right?
Well, you know, I'll keep making noise, but the right kind of noise, and you too.
That's right. Well, we've heard about you down under, so we know about you here. Yes. Am I your first Australian guest?
Oh, I don't know. I have had Australians on, but no, I think you're my first one recorded from, you know, I've had people that have moved here from Australia on.
Oh, right. So first person live.
You're my first live. Yeah, this is the first time we've taken it actually into Australia.
Australia. Nice.
And I love Australia, and it's on my vision board to get back there. So
no, that's the other thing which I mentioned. Vision board's so important, hey?
Yeah. It's important to have a vision and know where you want to go.
Exactly.
Know what you want and not what someone else wants of you. You know, you could say to someone, what do you want? And they say, well, my husband thinks this or so. No, alarm bells. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, thank you so much. That's been the quickest hour of my week, because I've loved it.
It's gone fast. I've really enjoyed this. And maybe we can catch up another time for your podcast and we do a little follow up. And even happy to, if you ever do like, oh, I probably wouldn't on podcast live questions or something like that.
Yeah. Well, now we're connected, you know, so that's it. You know, I love your vibe. So we'll definitely keep in touch. And
so
I really appreciate your honesty, your energy, and just your intentions. So thank you very much for that. No,
thank you. Thank you for believing in me.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
That's a song.
Adrian, you had such good chat. I think you're awesome. Thank you for bringing the fire to episode 67. Let's sing out in your fave tune. I freaking love it. I totally know the song. Don't even know me. You say that I'm not living right. You don't understand me. So why do you judge my life? This is so in tune. I always say every week, judge less, live and love more. I'm always holding my own. Every time I turn around, there's something. People talking about what they don't know. And when I try to move under, they're always putting me down. I'm tired, yeah, I've had enough. It's my life and I'm living it. You don't even know me. You say that I'm not living right. You can't understand me. So why do you judge my life? Yeah, we should judge less. Oh, I love it, Adrian. I bet you totally belt out to that with your dance moves and you just go for it and you just love it. So good. Yeah, thank you. Just loved it. Thank you, my darling. Woo!
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.